prepared to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And while her name is not often mentioned, yet nevertheless, she was always there, following her son whithersoever he went. For again, when he addressed the multitudes on one of those occasions, we're told that Mary, his mother, was there. John 8 and verse 19, we read, "Then came to him his mother and his brethren." So Mary was never too far away from where her son was ministering. And now Mary appears once again near the end of our Lord's public ministry. Indeed, she appears once again at that place called Calvary. And here in John 19 and verse 25, we are told, "And there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother." Mary was with her son in all situations and in different circumstances and different places. And now we find her at the cross, standing by her son. It is this incident there that took place in Calvary's brow that we want to consider today. And we want to see Mary as she stood there by the cross of Jesus. What a truly wonderful woman Mary thus far. And we stand in wonderment at her again as she took her place beside her son, the Lord Jesus Christ, there at Calvary. For when we look at Mary, we see a woman with a Calvary. I want us first of all to consider Mary's stand at the cross. As we see Mary standing by the cross of her son, we can imagine for her that it was a lonely stand. The multitudes that had followed him into Jerusalem and had followed him crying, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Those multitudes have all now disappeared. None of them are there now at the cross to cry, "Hosanna to the Son of David." There are no songs of praise. There are no signs of support. There are no shouts of "Hosanna in the highest" as the Son of Man is lifted up to die. No one ventures near that cross for fear of being scandalized, for fear of being associated to this man who had been portrayed as a common criminal and malefactor. No one wanted to be associated with this individual who had been sentenced to death, and that death was action. So if anyone was to step forward and show support for the dying victim there at Calvary, they may expect a lonely stand. So not surprisingly, we read the words, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother." If ever a woman had a mother's heart, it was Mary. Up until this point, Whenever we read about Mary, she was always accompanied by his brethren. Those few verses that we gave, the marriage in Cana of Galilee, the brethren were there. When he left Canaan and went to Capernaum, the brethren, his brethren went with him, along with Mary. Whenever he was ministering to the multitudes, they came and told the Lord that his mother and his brethren stood without. Now we find Mary at Calvary, but there's no mention of his brethren. Up until this point, it was always Mary and his brethren, but not anymore. Now we simply read that there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. But their brethren are not mentioned. And so as far as that was concerned for Mary, it was a lonely stand. She was prepared to stand with her son and stand alone, even without his brethren. But then not only was Mary often accompanied by his brethren, but also by his disciples. But once again, we don't find the disciples there at Calvary. Those disciples whom Mary had often been in company with during the Lord's 3 years or so of ministry. She had often been in their company. But where are the disciples now, with the exception of John? And once more, by the fact that his brethren were not there and the disciples were not there, and that Mary was there, emphasizes the fact that it was for Mary a lonely stand. She did not have the company of his brethren and his disciples. And instead there was a woman there, a poor woman, a humble woman, a gentle woman, a gracious woman, a woman with a mother's heart. For we read the words, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother." Mary stood there as a mother, and in all probability as a widow. While it is not detailed for us, yet in all probability Joseph, her husband, had been called home to be with the Lord. Because there's no mention of Joseph being present. Joseph wasn't there to lend Mary moral support. But in spite of that, we read there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. We have to admire this woman with a mother's heart. For her it was a lonely stand, but she was going to stand by her son. And believer, if you and I are going to stand up for the Lord in this day in which we live, and take our stand by the Lord in this world that hates Christ, I tell you, it's going to be a lonely stand. There'll not be too many want to stand with you. When we think of our protest a number of years ago against the Jesus Christ Superstar miracle in our musical in the theater there at the bottom of the town, wasn't too many stood with us, apart from those of our own congregation, in the Free Church in Toronto. The only one who outside of her own denomination were prepared to stand with us outside that theater and raise a voice of protest. Nothing has changed. You stand for the Lord, you'll stand alone on many occasions. Paul experienced that loneliness as he stood for the Lord. For he wrote to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy 4:16, Paul wrote, "At my first answer," or the word answer there means defense, "at my first defense, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." It was a lonely stand for Paul, as he was standing up for the Lord Jesus, for the crown rights of King Jesus. He had to stand alone. He says, "No man stood with me. All men forsook me." Paul had a heart for such a faithful stand, and so had Mary, for she had a mother's heart. And when all seemed to have turned against her son, the Lord Jesus, well, she was going to make sure that she stood by her son. And so she did. And in this world where all seems to be against Christ, let us make sure we stand for the Lord. It was a lonely stand for Mary. And we can certainly say for Mary it was a loving stand. Why was she there? Well, she had a mother's heart, and she loved her son. She loved the Lord Jesus. That's why she was there. Mary had a heart that was full of love for her son, her Savior. And how else may we explain a mother standing by her son in such a horrific set of circumstances? We cannot possibly imagine that scene. We can only go as far as the scriptures permit us. But think what it must have been like for Mary to stand there and see the son that she gave birth to and see his visage marred more than any man's. And see him nailed to that cross and those nails through his hands and his feet and the blood pouring down his face and the crown of thorns. But there stood Mary. Why? Because she loved her son. How could she forsake her son in such an hour? In his hour of suffering, in his hour of shame. The crowds are mocking him. The thieves are taunting him. The priests are jeering him. The soldiers are cruel and indifferent to the whole scene. And then we read, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. Apart from John, no disciples. None of his brethren. None of his followers, none of the multitude, none of those whom he had healed during the course of his ministry, there's none of them there. No one to give him moral support. But Mary, a loving mother, stood by her son. Her son is bleeding, suffering, yea, dying. There stands Mary beholding the horrible scene and listening to the horrible mockery of Christ. How did you manage to stand there? How did you manage to stay there? How did you manage to suffer there? How did you manage to give him support there? I tell you, there's no other explanation for it except she loved her son. And I'll tell you, you'll do many a thing for the person that you love. You'll do many a thing for the person you love. For we read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 7 and verse 7, many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. Many waters cannot quench love. And you think of the waters of hatred and bitterness and malice that flow there at Calvary. But none of those waters could quench the love that Mary had for Jesus Christ. The floods of cruelty and criticism and condemnation engulfed the man of Calvary that day, but there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Truly, a woman with a mother's heart. The Lord Jesus had to ask Peter three occasions, "Lovest thou me?" The Lord Jesus never had to ask Mary that. The Lord Jesus never had to put that question to Mary. Christ knew that Mary loved him, that his mother loved him, and the very fact that she stood there by his cross proved her love for her son. Do we love the Lord Jesus as we ought? Would our love for Christ be enough to cause us to stand for the Lord Jesus in the face of such opposition? He who was rejected and despised, hated, and he who is still despised, rejected, and hated today. Do we love Christ enough to stand for him when the floods of hate encompass him about? For Mary, it was a loving stand. For Mary, it must have seemed that the whole of Jerusalem had turned against her son. And he who was numbered with the transgressors and treated like a common malefactor, a common criminal, yet she stood, a loyal mother, by the cross of her son. He may have been accused of blasphemy. He may have been tried in a mock trial. He may have been found guilty. The sentence may have been passed upon him that he must die by crucifixion. They may have said all kinds of evil against him, falsely. They may have showed how they despised him. His disciples may have deserted him and forsaken him. His nation may have despised him. But his mother stands by him. His mother stands by him no matter what a son is accused of, or what a son is found guilty of doing. The woman who has heart of a mother will always stand by her son. Read story last week of a court case involving two men from England. And they came from America to Florida to Sarasota for a 2 or 3 week holiday. Unfortunately, they went out boozing one night. And they were intoxicated when they left the drinking den to make their way back to their motel. But in the middle of the night, back to their motel, they took a wrong turn. And they got lost. And they found themselves in a very unsavory neighborhood. A young man came and confronted them in the middle of the street, and he pulled out a gun. And they asked them for money. The two young men said they didn't have money, and he shot the both of them through the head. He murdered them. Cold, callous crime. His trial was last week. The evidence was stacked against the young man. There was outrage at what this young man had done. Found guilty of murder and sentenced to life. But who was there in the courtroom to support that young man? None other than his mother. She didn't try and defend his actions. But that young man was that woman's son. And even he had committed these foul deeds in murdering two innocent men for nothing. And that young man was condemned by everyone. Yet, the person who was there to support him was his mother. If he got support from no one else, he got it from his mother. And here's Christ. And all that they said about the Lord Jesus, of course, was untrue. But the multitudes that gathered around the cross didn't believe that it was untrue. They cried out, "Crucify him." They mocked him. They cursed him. And it seemed as though everyone was against him. Except one person. And there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. She's a woman with a mother's heart. She remained faithful to the very end, faithful to Christ. Believer, we are to be faithful too. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, Paul says, "Moreover, it is required. It is required that a man be found faithful." Don't we want to be faithful to the Lord so that at the end of our sojourn here, we will hear those words, "Well done, welcome home, my good and faithful servant." And what a bright crown Mary is wearing today in heaven. Faithful to her Lord to the very end. I want you to notice also not only Mary's stand at the cross, but Mary's sorrow at the cross. When he was 8 days old, Mary and Joseph brought the Christ child to the temple. There Simeon the priest made a number of predictions with regard to the Lord Jesus. And then he turned his attention specifically to Mary. And very pointedly said to Mary, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also." Also. Simeon was thinking about what Christ would suffer. That indeed a sword would pierce the Son of God. Simeon said, "Yea, a sword shall pierce thy soul also." Mary, you want to know that a sword will pierce thy soul, as well as a sword piercing thy son, a sword will pierce also. And what was Simeon referring to? He was referring to that day that Mary, the mother of Jesus, stood at the cross of Calvary. And surely those words of Simeon were fulfilled that day when Mary stood by the cross of her son. Mary must have suffered that day. Because remember, Mary was a woman with a mother's heart. And as she stood at Calvary, she was seeing none other than her own son being put to death. And oh, what pain and what agony Mary must have suffered that day. And how deep that sword must have pierced the soul of this mother. But there she stands. There she stands. Through those hours of suffering of her son. There she stands. What does this speak to us of? It most certainly speaks to us of her grace. If you look at those verses that we're concentrating on this morning, we read in that verse 25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister. And then there was Mary, the wife of Cleophas. And then there was Mary Magdalene." Incidentally, that's the only time that Mary Magdalene's name is placed last in the list of Marys that we often read about in the Gospels. Mary Magdalene, her name is last. She's giving place to the mother of Christ. Mary Magdalene, I would believe, would understand something of what the mother of the Lord was going through as she stood there. She gives way, she gives place to Mary. And then there was John, the beloved disciple. So there you have Mary, the mother of Christ, Mary's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, Mary Magdalene, and John. A little group of five individuals. And five being the number of grace. This speaks to us of the grace of God that was given to the five, and in particular to Mary, to be able to stand there by his cross in the face of such a flood of opposition. And I tell you, it took grace on Mary's part to stand there all the time, loyal to her son, expressing her love for her son as she stood there. What mother could stand there and behold their son beaten and battered and bruised and bleeding and yet not be able to raise a hand to help? What mother could stand there and watch their son thirst and not be able to slack his thirst? Or take a drop of water and cool his parched lips? But there Mary stood on. What mother could stand there while a sea of gaping faces and staring eyes looked upon the suffering of her own dying son? Mary stood there. What mother could stand there and look upon that brow that no doubt she had often kissed, and to see it now crowned with cruel thorns? That took grace. What mother could stand there and see the hands and feet of her son pierced through with cruel nails and not be able to soothe or relieve his pain? What woman could suffer to see such a sight and not turn away? A mother. Only a mother. And only a woman with a mother's heart could do such a thing. But there she stood. And it took grace. Only a mother who was given grace, grace that is marvelous, infinite, and matchless, was able to stand there and behold such a scene, scene that involved her own son. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Not only do we notice the grace here, we notice the grief. When a mother beholds her child suffer, well, the mother would rather take the place of the child. The mother would rather suffer instead of her child, because it grieves her to see her child suffer so. What must it have been like for our dear brother Stephen Lee and his wife Jamie to look into that little cradle and see their child after 2 days been having to go through open heart surgery? And to see that little body opened up, and to see him there wondering whether they'll make progress or not. How it must have grieved them to know that their child was suffering. How they would rather have taken his place if at all possible. What must it then have been like for Mary? What grief did she experience and behold? That sword of which Simeon spoke plunged deeper and deeper into her soul with every passing hour, as she beheld what was done by cruel hands to her own dear, sinless, spotless son. I look at Mary as an ordinary woman, because that's what she was. She was nothing special. She needed a Savior like everybody else needs a Savior. She was a poor woman. Many ways an insignificant woman. She was just an ordinary woman. And so being an ordinary woman, she would be subject to like passions as we are. And so I put myself in Mary's place. And as a parent, and wonder what it would have been like as to stand there as a parent and behold my son being treated as he was. What must it be like for a mother to look upon her son and watch him die as the Savior died? It was the grief that only a mother could feel. And Mary, no doubt, felt it that day. Think of the sorrow she felt when she lost Christ when he was 12 years of age in the temple, you remember? When they eventually found him, they said to him, "We have sought thee sorrowing." And Mary felt the sorrow then of losing her 12-year-old son for 3 days. But I tell you, the sorrow of Calvary eclipsed the sorrow of the temple. And she watched him suffer, bleed and die on behalf of others. Despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And the Lord Jesus is given that title, a man of sorrows. And surely Mary must be given the title, the mother of sorrows. I want you to notice the gaze, the grace and the grief and the gaze. Mary, standing there by the cross, did not go unnoticed by Christ. For we read in the verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother. The Lord saw his mother in her grief. He saw his mother as he gazed upon her. He saw that stricken heart. He saw that pierced soul. He saw the pain in her eyes. That's what he saw. He who suffered so much pain readily sees the pain and the suffering in others. That's the Savior's nature. That's who he is. The Lord Jesus sees pain and suffering in others. He has an eye for that. I read in John 5, as he came to the pool of Bethesda, was a multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And we read in the verse 5 of John 5, and a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years, when Jesus saw him. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Notice the words. When Jesus saw him lie and knew he had been a long time in that case. Well, that tells me when the Lord Jesus saw his mother, he also knew. He knew all about the man at the pool of Bethesda. He knew all about Mary as she stood by the cross. He knew what she was suffering. He knew what was going on in her heart. He knew how deeply that sword pierced her soul. And only Jesus can see these things. And only the Lord knows how deeply a sword will pierce through our souls during the course of our lifetime. No one else knew but Jesus what Mary was suffering that day. But surely that's a comfort. That's a comfort to know that The Lord Jesus has His eye upon us. The Lord Jesus sees us in our suffering. When I was preaching last Sabbath day in Allentown, I was referring to Christ, our High Priest, and how He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And I was emphasizing the point that even as we're here today in God's house, the Lord is praying for us. And when you're ill, the Lord is praying for you. And when you're sorrowful, the Lord is praying for you. And we followed that line through. And I got that email from our brother Paul. And he said, got me through this past week, as he started this, was knowing that not only are my brethren praying for me, but my Savior is praying too. Just to know that the Lord knows is a great comfort. And how blessed to know that when a sword pierces our soul, it's blessed to know that someone is looking on, and that someone is Jesus. We finish now with Mary's silence at the cross. You look at those words that we have read today in John 19 of the cross and the sufferings of Christ and the multitude and the haters of Christ being there and Mary being there, and not one word is recorded as coming from the lips of Mary. And there we have Mary's silence at the cross. Consider this in contrast to the day the Lord Jesus went into the house of Jairus. And there Jairus' 12-year-old daughter lay a still lifeless form on the bed. And we are told, when he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. They wept and they wailed greatly. There were people who were really like professional wailers. And whenever someone would die or had died, they would go to that house and there they would wail. Now you look at what was taking place in the house of Jairus, and you look at what was taking place at the cross, and there's Mary, and she stands in her suffering in silence. There's no wailing. Oh, no doubt she shed a tear. But there she stood in her silence. Suffering in silence. And many people today are suffering in silence. You know, I thought about Mary. And again, I thought this woman with a heart. How can we explain the silence of Mary? Let's bring it right home. Let's bring it into our own house. And you have a son or a daughter, and they're very, very ill. They're seriously ill. And they know it. And you know it. What do you do to try and help them and encourage them? You don't want to show them how anxious and worried and concerned you are. They may be crying, but you don't want to cry. You want to help them. You want to be strong for them. And I believe that was one of the reasons why we do not read of Mary wailing. This speaks to me of Mary's courage. Because the Lord didn't have too many to support on that day. And there's Mary. And if she were to stand there weeping and wailing, it would have added to the Savior's distress. It would have added to the distress of her son. And so she keeps up for the sake of her son. I believe that. Because she was a woman with a mother's heart. And like any mother with a loving heart, that's what Mary did. She stood there in silence, suffered in silence for the sake of her son. Shows you her courage. And we see also his care. See how in the midst of his suffering the dear Savior is thinking about his mother. Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, and saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. There's his care. What a marvelous Savior we have. At the height of his suffering, he's thinking about others. Proverbs 23 and verse 22, we are told, Despise not thy mother when she is old. And he who fulfilled all the law of God is here seen fulfilling the fifth commandment, Honor thy father and thy mother. And here's the dear Savior honoring his mother, making sure she's cared for, and making sure that one of his own looked after her. For he said to John, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. And what a home that would be after that. What a wonderful person Mary was. So very, very far removed from the Mary that was portrayed by the Church of Rome. We thank God for this Mary and for her love for Christ. May we be found today, until the Lord takes us home, may we be found standing by the cross. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving God and gracious Father, we pray that in the light of what we have learned about Mary today, that our prayer will be near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Lord, keep us near the cross. Give us the courage, the conviction, the love that Mary had for the Savior. Lord, may we demonstrate in this day of great evil and wickedness, this day of such hatred for Christ, may we be numbered with those who will always be found standing near the cross. Write thy holy word upon our hearts. It's a humbling word. O Lord, hide it deep within our hearts today. Be with us now as we part the one from the other, and may thy good hand be upon us throughout this thine own day. And Lord, in thy will, return us to this place of worship tonight. Spend time around thy word and learn more about thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.